Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hey, fellas, welcome back.
Donnie.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Well, living the dream here, you know. We're just going to do a little bit of an update for the audience because we got a lot of moving parts going on here.
Yeah, I think it's more, I think it's probably needed a little bit of it. We talked about what we were going to do this week for a cast, and I think, I don't want to say it's a filler inner for sure, but I think it's just, I think we need to talk about some of the stuff that's going on and get it out there. And for all 25 people that listen to this cast, they'll be fairly informed on what's going on in the Twos program.
I think we have more than 25, but yeah, the same 25 yeah. For sure every time.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're here banging it out for you. You know?
It'll be the same 25 people that constantly text us, mm-hmm. right? Jeff Lorndorf, Gary Bannard, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys.
Our most loyal of followers right there.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think it's going to be a potpourri of information. We're going to be all over Matt. Like we're talking, it's an update show. So I'm looking at all the different updates that we could be doing here, and it's all over the map. Right. So I think we just kind of go with what's ready to go. I think probably the first thing is Tuesday week, right?
Well, yeah? It probably sure. should
well,
be.
What yeah. happened this weekend? How about that?
Wow. Oh, okay. So what did happen this weekend? Well, Donnie, you were in LaDuke. How was LaDuke?
Yeah, it was good. It was our first ladies tournament of the year, and we ended up going 3-2. Girls played well.
Who's the hot team?
Well, in the 19s
or just whatever. Who
well, Callahoo was there, and there was a few alumni from the Twos program, and they looked incredible. Lucy was throwing bullets. They hit the ball hard. Good. That's a good team. The Red Deer U19 team is strong. The Kaizen Black team is pretty strong. Warriors played pretty well. M Waters was throwing really well. So, I mean, it was a well-played tournament for sure. Lots of, our games were all one-run games, so the girls got lots of high-pressure situations. Every moment mattered, every bat mattered, so it was a good spot for us to be in leading into championship weekend. So, yeah, we're happy with that.
So, right. Donnie, and there, help me out here. Sorry, guys. Are you having provincials in Alberta this year?
We are, and in fact, Lloydminster is hosting them on the border city.
So there's a little strategy going on there, right? All these weekends, you don't want to kind of put your best foot forward. Everybody's kind of like, you know, a little strategy or what's going on.
Yeah, there's people hiding cards for sure. I mean, we didn't get a chance to see Red Deer, and we probably won't until provincials, but we scouted them a little bit. And, you know, we're not going to want to show the teams that we have to play our best lineup or our best hand, and we want to try and sneak up on somebody for sure. So it was good. There's some well-coached teams out there.
Let me talk about that. Let me talk about that. So what your strategy going in, okay? Because we always say that, why show your best pitcher all year when you only need him for the last whatever? Okay, I get that. So what is the thinking there? Are you thinking, because here's what I'm thinking. If I know that I've got the best team, do I not want to pump every team all year long so they never want to play me?
Probably.
I think so, okay. Yeah.
So then if you're like you said, in the words, you sneak up on somebody. So if you are in the middle and looking to knock some people off, then you don't do that. Then you don't show your best lineup. Is that kind of the way we're thinking here?
That's what we're looking at. I think our team is the top three team for sure. And it just depends on who shows up at the time to play the game. We do a lot of things right. We hit the ball hard. Our defense is strong. And our pitching is going to have to carry the mail a bit for us to compete with some of the... Because, I mean, Red Deer's got Aiden Brown. Red Deer's got Raina Cruikshank. They throw the ball well. Emily Waters is arguably the best pitcher that we would see. And she's with the Warriors. So we want to make sure that if we put our best team out, can we beat those teams? And I think the answer is yes. But I don't think we want to give them a real good look at everything we have until the last... The last chance we have.
You don't have to beat them every day. You just got to beat them on the day.
Right. Exactly right, Dean. Yeah. Good analogy. Good work, Dino.
So the chess move would be to have your pitcher, even if they did throw, create a pick that disappears.
Oh my god! Eventually
weekend. Hey.
Yeah, you're just good? Way. Yeah, you're. Way out there.
That would be good. That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time she throws a changeup, she goes, woo, 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 right before. I don't know. What is that? We're going to watch for that at provincials.
Yeah, heads up. All the trickery we can pull out. Yeah.
But I think that's where maybe that's where the game is. Don't kid yourself. I bet you that's a lot of a thought process with going on the Olympics level. Right now. Sure. Because there's no surprises. One Olympic team is going to surprise any other team because they know exactly what they got. Mm-hmm. Right? There's been pre-scouting. There's been pre-tournament games. There's been all this stuff. You can't tell me the Americans or Canadians, whoever, don't have video on every player. Mm-hmm. They know every hole and every swing. You know, like, I mean, the scouting and the pre-work going into a tournament at like that level. Is amazing. Yeah. So I'm just saying, maybe you take a little bit of that into the Alberta U19s, Donnie.
Well, to be honest, we have a real good idea, you know, about the pitchers we're going to face, and they have a good idea about us. I just don't want to have them exposed until the last second. Let's give them a different look. I know what they're preparing for. No sense giving them a dress rehearsal. No, you can come in and see them on the August long weekend in the border city of Lloydminster, everyone. Come on down to the park, the Legion
August
Ballpark.
August long, eh? There
you go. Yeah, that's when we're hosting.
That's good.
August long, so you're not going to be in Calgary then?
No.
Oh.
I know. Hmm. That's sad.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Just saying.
Priorities, right?
Well.
Absolutely.
I think you're going to be way less sore after that weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, you bet I am. Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Well, yeah. Fellas, have you entered... Let's just talk about this. Have you entered the IRMA tournament with the twos?
No.
Would you?
No.
No.
Why?
We're a Masters team. One and done, baby.
I think you'd like the IRMA tournament. And done. It's a fun little spot.
Let's face it. We're going to Calgary with a little bit of a mixed bag. Like, you know, because Dino's
some young guys.
And Dino's got team SAS first, and Eatsy's got junior team. So there's our two throws. So we had to pick up a couple young guys to throw. But no, it's still the core of our Masters team, and yeah, we can't go weekends in a row.
There'd be a weekend off.
HTM, Donnie. Hurts too much.
Hurts too much. Yeah.
Hurts too much.
Well, John Mellencamp sang a great song about that, boys. So
no, that has hurt so good. This is not good. Not good. This is not good hurt. Yeah. Hey, something else that went on this weekend. In Saskatchewan, PA had a tournament, and I'm not picking favoritism. I'm not doing that. But I only got results like sent to us from one division of that tournament, and that was the 14 tournament, right? And Spirit team, Northeast Spirit, kind of comes rolling away with another. They're rolling. They won Moose Jaw. They won PA. I mean, that's pretty good.
Did PA have like a lot of different age groups too, or what was it?
I think so, because a lot of kids that I talk, I'm pretty sure I don't know. That's a good question. I can't answer that. I just know there's some kids in small groups that were going to PA, so I don't know. I can't comment, but I know that one mom who sends us endless pictures. Hey, endless, like to the point of really, you're sending me. Stop sending me team pictures at 3:30 in the morning, Tracy Frisky. Like, wow. But yeah, no, it's really cool when we get those updates. And of course, they all take pictures in their different uniforms and they all put up a two. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It just seems awesome. I'm sending Britt a picture a couple or two after every weekend for sure.
So Shelzy was surrounded by Spirit kids after losing the final. I don't know how, I don't think I'd be up for that picture. But whatever. Chelsea, good teammate. Good teammate.
Yeah. Hey, we had the U23 men's tryouts.
Yes. Ooh, that was awesome.
Camp this weekend. Yeah. It was pretty good. It was finally awesome to see these guys on the field.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Cause and all the people that worked at the facility to get the diamonds ready and all that stuff. They did a great job. We were inside and outside, and it was hot. It was a long day for those guys for sure.
Yeah.
But saw some really good things, and Dougie Allen was down, so it was good to kind of bounce some things off him, and so it was a good weekend.
Did Dougie Allen bring his glove?
No, he said told to leave that. He didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't bring it.
You're not going to need that, bud.
Yeah, that might have come up a couple times actually. yeah, that was like, pretty good.
No way ever.
Yeah, there was. I don't know if I don't know that division well enough to say. that there were some surprises, but there were some guys out there that did really well.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with how they swing the bat, and I would be remiss only because his sister is an alumni, but Josh Montana hit a ball for a home run, Donnie, that it's the heart. Okay. I've seen a lot of balls
10 feet off the ground,
all the way out. And it was the hardest hit ball. It left. I bet you it was out in a second and a half. Like it was, and it was a one hop off the C can.
Oof.
Like I'm sure it dented the C can. Like, I can't believe he hit it. And I was just, whoa. Like it would have killed the center fielder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but there was some good, good performances and a lot of talent in that group. And, I don't envy, you guys, Dino and Dougie and Mark, you got to whittle that down.
It's just the hard part, I guess, for me getting the grasp of it is you only have so many spots to come to a main camp, and without seeing what's, you know, Ontario's going to have a big, you know, group of kids mm-hmm. as well. And there's going to be a lot of talent there. Newfoundland's already gone through it. They're done. I think BC will be coming up here too, but I mean, it's hard to know how many people you're going to take at this point, because you got to see what, you know, what you're going to need for positions when you see who's strong in Ontario and BC, right? So it's
so okay. So that's a question I have for you then. So a kid comes to the Rawlings event, mm-hmm. you know, the Rawlings event that's at the end of the month in August, and lights it up. Do you ask him to stay?
Well, I don't have an answer yet. We'll have to see. By that time, we'll know, right? By that time, we should have a pretty good idea, because all the ID camps will be done.
Right.
So we'll have a pretty good idea. I just think nothing will be in stone until you get through that weekend. I mean, you might have a couple surprises. There could be, you know, gameplay situations. You might see a lot more out of somebody that you weren't able to see at an ID camp,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah, so it's not
going to be an easy job. Not easy because, like, and you know what? The way Dougie said it in Saskatoon, kudos to you guys for thinking this way too. I mean, when he said you could be on the team and off the team if you don't, you know, get it done or somebody else progresses more than you do, just because you're on the outside looking in doesn't mean you're not in, mm-hmm. right? I like that. That's a good option for you guys because so much can change. Right, like look at Ontario right now, they're behind, their season's just kind of starting,
mm-hmm.
you know. So for them at an ID camp, they might not be in mid-season form yet, and then you have six or eight of them come out here for the Rawlings thing and just light it up, mm-hmm. you know. Like there's some it's not going to be easy for you guys, just, and this is that post-COVID world that we're living in, right? But
it was good camp.
It was really neat to be on the guys' side again a little bit, right? Just, at that level. Oh,
it happens,
man.
Balls. Pretty quick. Man, yeah. Those guys can run too.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some speed at the camp.
But you know what the nice thing was too? Like, if you look at what's the number one thing we talk about with our program that wins and loses games? Base running.
Mm-hmm.
How many base running mistakes, right? Like just,
yeah,
it's across the game. It's not just, we hammer away on the girls' side as far as base running, but it's all over.
Nobody works on it enough, I don't think. I mean, you're going to probably have your special teams that put that extra work in, and like there's going to be a team here, a team there that are really good at that, but overall, you're right. Yeah, we're not great base runners.
Maybe there's a part-time gig for Andy Wolf. She's the base running guru. She can run around and teach all these teams how to run bases. Yeah, there you go.
It's weird, even though you look at some of these athletes and it's not even about base running, it's about getting bad jumps or getting bad reads.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily even the route they take around the pillows, it's when they go. And like,
well, our program, Donnie, you know what, like we are gonna have, when we do base running work, it's, you might do, I mean, in years past, we would, you know, you're doing, everybody's running, you follow the leader kind of thing. And it's just, that doesn't teach you anything. We have to have the live situation stuff where they can start reading a ball off a bat, reading if the catcher's going to catch the ball, when they pick the coaches up, you know, not watching the ball while you're, you know, you're in such a trance watching the ball as you've hit it to the outfield that you can't take the proper base, you know, path to first base or to second base or whatever it is. There's just so much has to do with the live component of it that you just don't practice. And if you're one of those players that doesn't get on base a ton in a game, like how do you ever become a good base runner, right?
How do you do that, Donnie?
Yeah, I don't know. When I get on base, I get pinch ran for.
How do you become a good base runner, Donnie, if you don't get on? How does that work?
Well, if I get on, I usually get a run.
If you get on, they run for you.
Yeah.
How do you become a good base runner?
You just...
Hey, I just came up with a drill. I just came up with a drill for that.
Okay.
Reading the ball off the bat. Okay. So we could do this in practice. We're trying to create the situation, right? Okay. So you got a pitcher, could be a coach, whatever, standing in the circle, probably a coach. Got a coach standing in the circle. They do the arm motion. The player gets the jump. Another coach hits a ball off the tee. So we know exactly where we want to hit it, either to a gap or ground ball or whatever it is. And you read that and run accordingly without any help from your coach.
Eh? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Right? So are you playing full defense?
Defense. You play it out, right? So you got to hit your cuts. So it's a defensive drill as well. But with a coach putting their arm around and say, I'm hitting, if I happen to hit one up the middle, that coach can, if I hit the coach, I don't care. I wouldn't want to hit a kid. So, yeah. Right. So, okay. So Razor's pitching.
Ray got the sheet of plywood up there. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I think we need to do more of that in our program for sure. For sure.
Well, even like we did it just at our practice. We were getting picked doing, you know, fly ball goes to the outfield. You're on second base. It's hit out to right. You know, do we go halfway? Are we tagging up? Because what we didn't want was, it happened a few times where ball got dropped and we got forced out at third base and just ran out of an inning, right? So where are the lines where, hey, if it's hitting this direction, we go halfway or we tag up and run? Or so we had to do that. And you're right, it has to be done live. You can say it all you want. Well, if it goes here, do this. But you have to actually see it and see how deep the ball is hit and get a read on it. And it's a challenge for sure. It's the hardest thing to get right
especially,
in practice.
Especially if it's in front of you, right? So that scenario where you get your jump, you see the ball's halfway. If you know that it's an absolute pellet to the gap, you're running. But it doesn't happen in a game because they don't understand sometimes. Some players don't understand the trajectory of the ball, that they're not getting there. Mm-hmm. It's already over their head. You know, they're not getting there, that sort of stuff. So I think, yeah, we can do a better job of that in practice for sure. Speaking then of teams, we could do an update on Dino's got in front of him numbers we're sitting at. Like we're starting to fill, hey, for tryouts in August.
Our biggest weekend right now is that 21st, 22nd. That one's filling up a little faster. So, you know, if you're out there still waiting and wondering which one you're going to go to, I mean, you've got still three options. You got both the 21st, 22nd, or the 21st and 28th weekends in Saskatoon. And then there's that 24th, 25th in Edmonton. All three of them are still available for spots. But
that's
that 21st and 22nd, it's starting to fill up. So,
yeah. Well, and the nice thing too is we've had questions. Last year it happened way more often. Oh, you think you guys are going to travel? We're traveling. We know that we're going to travel. Based on what's going on right now, that if you're double vaxxed, then you don't have to quarantine. And that was our biggest thing, is once the quarantine thing went away, then we would start to go. I think our biggest thing right now is working around the different, all the school divisions are on different semester systems or quints or quarters or whatever that happens to be. So there's going to be some.
Have you heard much still doing the quints?
There are I know Matthew's lacrosse program was going to go on a trip November 3rd weekend, but that's been pushed to the November 18th or no, not 18th, 13th weekend, because that's around, they're talking about a finals being written around that time in Saskatoon. So I think that's a quarter or a quint or whatever. Which that's fine by us, because we're not traveling that weekend anyways. We have practices that weekend. But anyways, I think that's going to be part of it. I think, you know, we obviously want to do our 2-week trips as much as we can, because it's easier on the wallet for the parents, but it's also We see much greater development of the players. But if it means that seven are staying and seven people are in and out, that's the way it's going
to
be.
Yeah, we might be able to. We might be able to do a mix of a few of those too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Tosh, Dino, walk us through why you see more development on that 2-week trip, and give the listener, the casual listener, the 25 people out there listening now, what are the ideas and where would they be?
As far as the tournaments, you mean?
That's right, Tosh.
Yeah, well, I think that I'll answer the first part, Donnie. The development that we see with the 2-week trips is, I mean, I think it's obvious in that they get in. Normally, when we would go into a tournament, we'd get in on Wednesday. We would practice on Thursday morning, play Thursday night, doubleheader against exhibition games, practice Friday, play Friday night, Saturday, Sunday tournament, come home Monday. That's the way we traditionally did it up until 2019 when we decided to try some of these 2-week trips. So essentially, the kids were gone for 4 days of school, and they played maybe 9 games, something like that, with a couple of practices. Well, if we went to the 2-week, we have them coming in on the Thursday. So the first tournament, we don't get as much work in pre-tournament because we're coming in a day later. So we're going to practice on Friday, play Friday night, and then Saturday, Sunday tournament somewhere. Then Monday, we're staying. And there's a Disney day, a travel day, wherever we happen to be. And then we get some opportunities. So Tuesday morning, we practice. Tuesday night, we play. Wednesday morning, we can work on the stuff that didn't go right on Tuesday night. And we do that all week going into the next tournament on the next Saturday, Sunday, come home Monday. So when we sat down, we looked at it and we went, okay, well, if you went on 2 tournaments, you missed 8 days of school. If you do a 2-week trip, we still missed 8 days of school. Now, it's 8 days in a row. I totally get that. But we also have time during the day that we block for kids to get homework done, for them to get together. You know, we got a boardroom in San Diego 1 year and they all did homework together, that kind of thing. So the development side, we're just more in a row as far as games and practices and that sort of thing. So, I mean, the first time we did it was in October of 19 with our 14s and their 16s, and our 14s, but you know, they played 17 games and mm-hmm. Well, seven practices or whatever.
It's like 3/4 of their summer season.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a week and a half. So it's,
and we get to work on stuff right away. It's not like, you know, you go on a tournament, say a kid goes to Florida in October and then doesn't go anywhere until December. If they had a Sunday where something came up, we don't get to work on that. We can work on a practice. We don't get to be on the dirt. We don't get to see it in a game again until 2 months later. This way, it's like if it happens, boom, we work on it the next day. You know, so that part was really good.
So to be fair.
Well, twice.
I know. I realized that it wasn't ideal for having students doing online schooling for the last year. However, it makes it a lot easier for them to take a 2-week trip, knowing that they've done the schooling that way, online learning for a year. Yeah. It's a lot easier for the parents to accept, hey, well, we know we can do it this way. So they get the best opportunity. But the second thing is, I think you would agree, generally speaking, our hitting is on par and our pitchers are on par or better even. But we don't get to see the infield and outfield reps outside. So you're right. The first tournament we go to, we basically, by the time we're done, we've just banged all the rust off. Well, now if we're staying, we get to work on more reps and it feels more comfortable. And I think the first time any player goes on one of these trips, their eyes are as big as dinner plates and they're excited they're in Florida. And then, but they haven't taken any reps. So now we're going to give them more reps and more reps outside. So I think that's a great move. And I sure like it.
I think, well, if we look at the first time we did it, even we go back to that as kind of our tester, but we learned a lot, like that Sarasota group that we took. I think it was 11 players, Dino. It was their very first trip ever with the twos. And then you go down to Fort Lauderdale. So in Sarasota, I don't know if we won a game. Maybe we did. We played okay. Let's put it that way. I don't want to get into records because I'm not sure. But wasn't the next weekend didn't we win our pool?
Yeah, they were amazing. Yeah. And that was that being able to get that instant feedback from stuff we need to work on and worked on it. And
yeah,
we were better every day. So
I call it the closing eyes effect. Right. Because we always talk about how the players go down and the parents go down. The first time they see some of these teams in the States, their eyes are as big as dinner plates. But as they start to get used to that caliber, the eyes, you know, get back to normal a little bit and they can kind of see where they're at. And I think it's a great, great way to do it. And I know I've had parents, Donnie brought up the online thing. I know I've had parents tell me that already. Oh, we'll just do online. We're used to doing it. So. And I'm assuming that option's going to be there, especially in the fall, just because that's the world we live in. So anyway, so, as far as exact tournaments, we don't know yet because they're still, you know, coming online. But you know, traditionally it's,
last 2-3 weeks in October.
Yeah. 3 weeks in October. We're going to do 2 weeks in November, probably.
Later, probably December.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then looking at San Diego, December, we do a one trip to Fort Lauderdale to the Yellow Ball in January. And then 16s and 18s finish in February in Las Vegas.
Where?
Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie.
Yes.
And
Donnie Vegas. And, let's go.
And then we'll finish the 12s and the 14s. I'll finish somewhere.
Cali, probably.
Yeah, Cali probably. So, so that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we've got some things. I don't think we can get in too many specifics on the number of teams or the number of trips per age group because we're just not quite sure where we're at. We've got to look at the depth of our talent coming out of the tryouts. We also got to look at the number of kids that are, in those age groups. So, I think we're setting ourselves up for a travel year, and I know the kids are excited, but I know there's parents out there that are more excited to get traveling again.
Another thing to consider is the team bonding that goes on these trips with the players, because you're basically going with 13 friends to a strange place, and they do a lot of work together, and I think it pulls them together sharp. Like, I think that's a really good move. Parents do a lot of team building stuff when they're on the road, you know. So I think
and not that we condone this, but hopefully they can have a couple of adult beverages around a pool somewhere instead of the parking lot at Gordie Howe. Because that's what they did all last year. It was parking lot parties all year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people... so we're looking forward to that. The tryouts are going to be very competitive. An email will be coming out to everybody, but we've already sent it out to returning players that fitness is going to be pushed.
Big time.
Yep, you got to come in shape. Beep test, all that stuff is going to be run, and it's going to play a factor. And we've talked about it before. If you've got two players that are basically a dead heat on talent, but one is going to get through the whole weekend, and one is going to struggle, we know which kid we're picking. So,
yep. Okay. Well, where do you want to move to next? We could talk about Stanley Cup playoffs. We can talk about small groups. We can talk about Saskatchewan provincials. We can talk about the Olympics that are coming up in a week.
Well, why don't we talk about Tuesday week coming up?
Please.
Yeah,
Tuesday. Registrations.
Week, yeah.
We're technically full in all three camps already. But typically when you're going into a weekend, you might have the odd, somebody has a problem with scheduling or whatever. So they might, have to remove themselves. But if, you know, really, we're full. We're ready to go. Tosh has done a lot of math here the last couple of days. And looks all right, huh?
Yeah, no, it does. It looks good. I mean, I think it's with the restrictions being lifted, that helps us. But we also want to be very cognizant of the instructor to player ratio. This isn't by any means just let's get 300 kids in there and 15 instructors. So this camp, we want it to be different than everybody else's or every other camp that you go to, and make sure that the instructor ratio is, you know, tight.
It needs to be.
So yeah, where it needs to be. So, so that's another reason why we've probably had to cut it off a little bit, but Dino's right. There's going to be some cancellations. For those that are listening, there will be an email coming out, probably by Wednesday this week. So, just on requirements, I can say a couple things. No cleats are allowed inside Gordie Howe. Everything we're doing is inside. So make sure you've got your turf shoes and running shoes. Make sure you got your snacks, lots of water. In the rookie group, there's no real breaks. They just go through. They get 5 minutes kind of between each session, but they're only 9 till noon. So, but the next level group that goes 9 till 2, they will have a lunch break. They will have a classroom session. We've got Bruce Craven coming in doing strength and conditioning. We've got Carissa Johnson coming in doing our mental performance stuff. And then on the days that they're not there, Dino and I will be running classroom chalk talk sessions with everything from out options to hitting approach. So it's going to be really cool. I know our instructors are really pumped to come back and do it. So yeah, it's going to be really good. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
When you say instructors, though, maybe people don't quite get it. Who's instructing this?
Our alumni.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids that we've sent to, we didn't send them to school. We helped get them to school through our program, but it's a bunch of alumni kids that have graduated, have gone on to school. And some are alumni kids from that group that are instructors in our program already. Right. You look at Chach. Yeah. Chach is coming in with her group, but you know, Chach is
Vibert, with us all Mish, the time.
And obviously she's got, you know, way more tenure than some instructors, because she's obviously been there longer. So, but anyways, I digress.
Well, let's not get into Chach's theory on how long she's been a part of the group, because it's a real sore spot for me.
My wonder is how is she going to get to camp? Because her vehicle's probably not running.
Right.
Right. Because we didn't get an update on that, whether Ritz has compensated her for the transmission falling out on.
Yeah. We should find out. Well, we'll find that out this weekend. We might have to have Chach and Ritzy in different teaching groups.
Might have to. There's probably some tension there, eh? Although it wasn't Devin that stole them the vehicle, right?
Right.
No, but by proxy, she's going to wear the brunt of it, because Chach can't get mad at the parents, right?
Well, Dave and Trish, I mean, they should know better, right?
Yeah. But
whatever. They're smart people. To go through the list, I can do that. If you want to fill a spot here for 2 seconds, here comes our instructor list.
So here's some background noise for...
Here we go. So Kat Bain and Brooke Melnichuk are coming in. Both of them were at Iowa Western this past year. Brooke was the JUCO pitcher of the year. Kat was her catcher, so we obviously know that was all Kat getting that done.
Oh, come on.
Jaden Gaia, Jaden Montana, Alexis Assition, Michaela Martin, Devin Ritz, Cassie Reed, Lindsay Mayo, Megan Walls, Chach, Chantel Mathiason, Morgan Walter, Kayla Mishaniak, Kelsey Sontag, Kim Vibert. I mean, so there's a list there.
You have Montana on there?
Good. Yeah, I got
it
Montana.
It was the third name. Yep.
I missed it. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, so
and it's not only alumni. We've got Team Canada people. We've got, you know, it's Team SAS, Team Alberta. Like, it's these kids of their resumes are fairly extensive in the softball world. And the beauty is that, you know, I look at it this way, guys. These kids are coming in. They know the expectations of the program because they've gone through the program. They know the language. They know how we teach. However, they're also going to bring a little bit of extra outside stuff because they've been exposed to college coaches and different ways of doing things, which is awesome. Because I think, you know, especially the older kids in the group, if they want to know what happens when you go to school, well, I don't know. Well, but Alexis Decision knows.
And there's a lot of varying stories you're going to get from these.
For sure.
Yeah. People back from college too, where, you know, there's some situations where people had to sit a lot the first year.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't get the play time. And then there was ones that they were needed. They just fit. They had, you know, the depth that maybe they didn't have the depth of some of the other teams. I don't know. Like, it's just,
or an injury. You know, they got in because of an injury and they stayed ready. And you know, like it's the line of the backup professional quarterback, right? You're one play away from being the starter.
Yeah.
So two's week goes, and then Razor's tournament is that weekend, correct?
No, it's provincials.
Oh, provincials.
Yes.
Dang, because I was wondering, what about those? How happy would they be to enter a team in that tournament?
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm sure they probably would have. Oh, but
I bet.
We wouldn't have been able to. I mean, plus we're getting together on a Sunday night, and you, like, for going through some
it's
of
the weekend before.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez, that would have been something, eh? Putting that team together, that would have been a fun team to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but yeah, there's good. We're starting Sunday night. There'll be an email coming. Like I said, you know, we're knocking around the idea of a pre-registration for those that are coming in. Like, I know there's people coming in. They're going to be at the Gordie Howe campground for the week, staying in hotels, doing those sort of things. If you're still looking for a hotel, we do have a room rate at the Super 8, thanks to Vanessa Kostarowski for doing that for us. So that'll come out in the email as well. But yeah, it's just, it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait for it, you know, and if it goes off well, like we anticipate it's going to, then the only thing it can do is grow. And, you know, that's what we're looking at. We've already got some ideas for next year. And so, yeah, hopefully it becomes a traditional stop for softball players.
Yep.
Okay. What about small groups, boys? Update me there.
Well, we haven't posted anything yet, Donnie, but, you know, the plan for small groups, again, we're going to have, because winter training has moved from Moose Jaw to Regina, we will have some small group training in Regina this fall between October and December. We've even got some dates into the spring. Typically, again, with Saskatoon, we'll go in the spring, but because we've got probably two different sets of winter training going in Saskatoon, we won't need a lot of, you know, small group training while winter training is going on in Saskatoon. Lloyd is, again, going to be someplace we're going to be putting some small group training. We've got a book, you know, get into, I would say, your facility as well.
Yep.
You know, just see what we've got for times, and we'll see how that works. And again, Melford's prepared again to go, in 2022, basically January to April, that kind of time frame. So yeah, there's lots happening. And again, we'll be in Edmonton, but we do have winter training going there. Why don't we kind of go right into winter training? Because, sure, you know, I was kind of excited a little bit about Regina, just for the fact that it's the first time we've had it. And they're off to the races for registrations right now.
Half full?
No, it's almost 2/3 full. Yeah, so.
What are we cutting off at?
Well, I would say around 30, right? We'll see how that kind of plays out, but I'm thinking around 30, and yeah, so we're well into it, and it's great to see. We've had some great responses from different parents. I've got text here, you know, here and there, just saying how excited they are that we've got something going in Regina. So yeah, we're pretty pumped about that, but not to, you know, our Moose Jaw people, don't be too discouraged, because we will be having some small group training there for them as well. So,
which I think works better for them. I think it does, because it gives them more options, right? They can still come to Regina. I know some of them have signed up. I know we've got some Moose Jaw kids that have signed up in Regina. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they're getting double, almost, right? Like, because the Moose Jaw stuff, I think the small group stuff is giving them, like I said, it gives them some options on what, because you can't go every night sometimes to winter training.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits that, you know, because we have parents say that all the time. Well, I would get into winter training, but we have to miss one night, or we have to miss two nights or whatever. And we've always had the policy of, well, you can go to a different one in a different community and whatever else, but that doesn't always work out. But with small group, you sign up for the dates that work for you. And
yeah,
you know, that's I think that's pretty cool.
One thing we all heard too, especially during the last year where everything was a bit different, all we did was small groups, mostly even with teams. The instruction level and interaction coach to player is high. So the opportunity to instruct and work with them is way way more out of it. I know everyone was disappointed we couldn't travel last year, but I think the development we all saw with the smaller groups and more instructors per group was phenomenal development for the players. So hopefully that it works better for those communities as well.
For sure.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
It's not often I get an agreement from both Tosh and Dean.
That was pretty good. That was
39
pretty good.
Minutes. If anyone's keeping track at home, 39 minutes in, Tosh, Dino gave Donnie you both a agreed. Taking it.
Awesome. Do you guys want to talk about provincials a little bit? Like, do we want to look into the future here and see like what we're thinking as far as some of the top teams? Make some predictions here. What's going on? My. I know Donnie, you're a little bit closer than, you know, than us.
Well, it's tough for him because he's got to wear both hats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure that.
So, you know, he's got to be a believer. And he's got to be a, you know.
Well, I have no problem saying I think the team we have is good enough to win provincials. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, you got to execute. But we have seen everyone that we'll see in provincials in Alberta. There are some really good teams, lots of good hitting, some really good pitching. It's going to come down to who shows up on that weekend on the biggest heater, as they say in Vegas.
That's all you want, right? It's a shot.
Yep, 100%.
So if you're playing well, if you can, you know, beat anybody, that's...
So you're saying there's a chance.
One in a million.
Yeah, no. On the Saskatchewan side, I mean, you guys probably have a better idea. I mean, but... Yeah, I think we all know Razor's going to say he's got a good shot, and he does, obviously. He's got a good team, and but there's good players all over the province for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any picks?
I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I know enough because I don't want to miss somebody, but you got to think U12s, Tosh. Let's get three top teams in U12 that you think. Or who's going to be fighting for? I mean, there's a lot at that age too.
Well, right? from what I saw, and I, again, it's limited. And what I saw, and again, I don't want to miss anybody. Yeah. And if I did miss you, and hey, let's put it this way: if you feel that you've been slighted by any degree because of our predicting on this podcast, please send Dino an email.
No, or. Suck it up, be better, win, and then give us a na-na-na-na-na at the end.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay. I'm okay with that too.
From what I saw, like I know I know we're fairly close to the Spirit program, you know, because they operate more or less out of our hometown and we do a lot of work with them. But I would say this, from what I have witnessed, I look at on the U12 side, Moose Jaw has got very strong pitching.
Pitching is, they got a few
but
fireballs
sometimes,
there.
Sometimes pitching can beat hitting, not very often, but sometimes it does. and I look at on the hitting side, I look at the Raiders team. They can, those kids can swing it.
U12s.
Yeah. And I know they lost maybe one game this year, maybe two, you know, and I know that it's they're doing pretty well in the league. So I in the U12, I think I'm going that way. I think I'm going Moose Jaw in the south, and I'm going
Lasers are going to be tricky too from Regina. They showed pretty well in Moose Jaw. The hard part about the 12s, Tosh and Donnie, is the pitching, right? You 100% need depth at pitching, because if you don't, you know, you're only getting to throw, I don't know how many innings, is it three innings a game, I think, at that age, right? So,
yeah,
you really got, comes into some strategy of who you're pitching and when, and you might pull somebody out and save them for later on in the game if the score gets out of hand. Like, there's lots of things you can kind of do there at 12s. But what out of Saskatoon, Raiders? I mean, all of them are going to be.
Yeah, they're, I mean, there. They're all, yeah. I mean, I think, I think that, you know, traditionally, I think the Hustlers would have been right there too. And I'm not saying their teams aren't good, but they did have to split this year. Like they have two A teams in that division. They're the zone that had to split because of numbers, and that's the way it is. And but I imagine they would have had a really strong team if they could have kept those two together. But I'm not going to get into that whole ball of wax.
Well, you know who's going to surprise some people? That's all I'm going to say is surprise some teams is Meadow Lake. Mm-hmm. Because Meadow Lake they were kind of, I think, originally, and again, I don't know the political side around it, but I know they were traditionally a B center. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've been playing some B teams this year and putting up some pretty lopsided scores. So I think actually the last I heard they were actually going A. So is it a big step for them to, you know, think that they might win A? I don't know. But they are going to surprise some teams for sure. So good for them for, you know, stepping up and being pushed a little bit. I think it's going to be better for their players in the long run. And see how it goes. So.
I'm just looking at Saskatoon right now because I wanted to fact check here. Yeah, the Raiders have lost one game. Phantoms have lost two. And then it's kind of there's a mix of teams in there too that Yeah. So it's pretty good. It's pretty tight in the middle, that's for sure. Yeah. 14s. Well, I don't know how you don't look at Melfort as a team that is there. Now, I don't know what teams were in PA. We know that there was mostly South teams at the Moose Jaw tournament, correct? Mm-hmm. I think Melfort might have been the only
PA.
Not Melfort, sorry. Spirit down. Program might be the only one. But, you know, but then again, you know, they haven't played as many games. They've only lost one game in the league in Saskatoon. But there's teams that, you know, I'm looking at the standings right now. It doesn't look like maybe they're up to date because they've only got Melfort playing six games, and there's teams that have played 11, 10, 9. So maybe they haven't played as many games. Yeah, I think the Raiders are pretty good. I think there's a good mix of talent at that 14 age group for sure. But I think I'm giving the Spirit the edge right now, only because of their two tournament wins.
Yeah, proof is in the pudding there so far.
Yeah,
they've won. They've won a tournament in the South. They've won a tournament in the North.
Correct. Yeah. So for sure.
So good on them.
For sure. Yep.
And last we checked, six. Provincials is a tournament, not a league game. So it's important to put wins together in groups to win those provincials. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners out there.
Reason.
Yep. Always.
For sure. 16 is probably the toughest division, eh, Tosh?
I would think so. There's a lot of good teams in the 16. And a lot of good players, like the Raiders are tough, the Hustlers are tough, the Spirit's tough.
Phantoms, you know, beat Moose Jaw on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So Moose Jaw, and yes, they are tough, but they lost a tough one to the Phantoms. Maybe one got away on them. I don't know how it happened, but yeah. Typically, you know, we were saying Moose Jaw was going to have a pretty strong club, which I think they are. Yeah. But maybe they had an off day or whatever it was, because I don't think the Phantoms were, and even the Phantoms not saying that they, but that's just like you said, Donnie, you need a chance to beat teams, right? So you're going to play a team that typically you think is better than you. You might not beat them 10 times out of 10. You just got to beat them once or twice, mm-hmm. right? When it matters. So
exactly right. Yeah. 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 And again, I pulled up SMSL, like, you know, the Raiders, you know, Amber's got her team playing well. Hustlers are strong. Phantoms are right in there. And then it kind of goes down. And again, I'm looking at the updates here. I don't see Melfort is up to date. They've only got one loss in league, but they've only got six games reported, whereas most of the other teams are in double digits. So,
yeah.
You know, the other team that, sorry, I should go back to the 14s here too. The other team that probably, needs a little love, I think is, probably the Lasers. Hey,
I would think,
yeah, you know, I think they're, I'll put it this way. I think it's going to be a bit of a showdown there between,
they're not a dark horse.
No, they're not a dark horse at all. No, you know, they're not. Everybody knows who they are. Cause they've won.
Yeah.
I think they won the provincials in that category 2 years ago, right? Like the same age group, just not 16s, but the same group of kids when they're 14, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be tight. And whoever shows up on that weekend and plays well is going to win.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because it is a weekend tournament, you can pretty much take the whole year and throw it out. Whoever's hot that weekend, right? That's the biggest thing. Who gets the pitching, who gets the timely hits.
You know. I'm a little excited about just watching. I mean, especially that 16 division, because there are going to be some O5s in there that we are looking at for the summer games. Hopefully, you know, those guys are all competing well. But I think there's not going to be a game that you could go to at the U16 level and not see some pretty talented people, right? Like, I mean,
we didn't talk
about Lumsden. We didn't talk about Regina, like Lasers, you know, the Laser Saints, that group, even the Royals. Like, I don't know. Like, so, I mean, there's going to be some good teams. So,
well,
I'm looking forward
to seeing some of that. Yeah, if it's a mirror of our program right now, the O5s is a really deep group, right? It's a very talented group in our program, and it's equally a talented group as a province.
Right? Yeah,
there's some really good players in that O5 category. So, yeah. But I hope we didn't, you know, piss off too many people, Steve Kropchuk, that we didn't mention the lasers right away, obviously. Well, I'll get a text for sure on that one. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, yeah. But that's the thing, right? It doesn't matter what we say. We just, this is all opinions and whatever it is. And maybe it's not really, in your case, not very good opinion, but.
Well, does Steve really want our opinion? Yeah, no, but good luck to all the teams. I mean, it's going to be an awesome weekend ball. Like, they were talking 144 teams or something.
No, 175.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 30 more. Okay, 175.
Yeah.
175. I didn't think I was that far off, Donnie, but no. Okay. No, man. It's not 144. It's 148.
Oh, 175. Okay. That's 30-some teams off. You're not even close. Are you saying you're close?
31? That's pretty close. A number like 140, 175, that's pretty close, Donnie, isn't it?
Well, I think it's pretty close. I mean, it's not like he said there's going to be 17 teams there. And
yeah,
it's not
like I said there's 28 teams. And,
remember that 10 bucks area? Here's six. We'll call it even.
Pretty close.
We'll call it even, but
right? Pretty close, Dean.
Pretty close. Yeah. You owe me 10 bucks?
I don't know. Probably from the last round of golf.
Only six probably. Now, so what's the difference? Yeah. And it keeps getting smaller every week.
Yeah. Yeah. What's what do you think there, Donnie? Like, what's plans? Like, Alberta's like they started on time or a little bit later than us.
Yeah, well, we went wide open 10 days before, but it's not. The season got pushed back a couple of weeks for sure. We're still gonna try and run a full slate, but like from what I've seen, and I'm just gonna start with 16s because that's start with 14s. The Lloyd team is. I want to say they're undefeated in their league and their run differential is over 100 in the positive. So that's a team that obviously I'm not just saying because it's Lloyd, but I've seen them play. They got a couple pretty hard throwers and hit the ball pretty hard. So that's going to be a team to watch probably in the 14s. 16s, I think Sherwood Park looks pretty good. St. Albert looks pretty strong. Red Deer is always good. So there's some shuffling going on there. I think that's probably the most wide open division in Alberta, the province.
Again, 05s, right?
Again, I was just going to say.
It's a talented age group.
When you were mentioning it in Saskatchewan, it's the same in Alberta. There's a lot of lot of talent in that age group. So, and then again, I would, like we said, for the 19s, I think Red Deer probably looks like the favorite going in. But then there's a couple of Kaizen teams that are strong. I think we're pretty strong. There's Dewey Singer's got his Thunder Creek team. They're good. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those you could put all the names in a hat, throw them up in the air. First one you grab could just as easily win it as anybody. So a lot of parity in the 19 age group. So we'll see.
Is that pool play, Donnie?
It is. Yeah.
Is that how the provincials work? Works in a pool, then you come out right. So a loss, one loss doesn't really kill you. No, not like a straight draw kind of thing, right?
No, and it's not like a double knockout where if you lose the first one, you got to play 25 games to win. Yeah. So, definitely. I mean, one loss won't kill you, but it's when you lose could be the issue for sure. So it could change. And the one thing you always find when you have anywhere from four to five, six teams in a pool, you're bound to see some tiebreakers, which generally makes it a lot harder to come through because now you're playing one or two more games just to get to the playoffs. So the first seed is obviously really important. And I can't wait to see how it goes. It's nice to see ball that means something. You know, when we played last year, it was in a cohort. It didn't really matter. We were just trying to get games to go. Well, now we're playing for a purpose, which is good for everybody, I think.
Cool. I think we've covered kind of the gamut of what's going on. Like, I don't know if there's anything else, you know, like we talked about. Well, uno momento. Mm-hmm. So we're just talking ball first. I know for small group stuff, I've had people ask about the small group hitting. Do you know, you can say on the pitching stuff, it'll be shut down July. I might do a couple more in August if there's interest to get ready for tryouts, but this week is pretty much it for me, I would think.
Yeah, we're going to be, well, we're actually hitting Humboldt and Melbourne.
Yeah, we're going to Humboldt. Yeah, going to Humboldt tomorrow.
So that'll be good.
Humboldt and big, like there's a lot of kids there.
Well, I think it's a good first step in, right? And they can get a look at our program and what they like, what they don't like. And then they can kind of sit back and they can see, I mean, Humboldt isn't that far down the road from Saskatoon, and we have a lot of programs that we offer in Saskatoon. So, you know,
Tegan Wyman,
just down the road, right? So,
Tegan Wyman Boyker. Right.
I wonder how she's doing this summer. I haven't seen her yet.
No, I haven't seen her either. Anyways, Donnie, you had your hand up.
Well, first of all, does this mean you boys are taking a summer vacation, or what's going on? You going to take some time away? Maybe head to the mountains?
No, we're going to LaRonge, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to camp in LaRonge after Tuesday's week. Yeah.
Hey, bring mosquito spray, but it's thick up there.
Yeah, and then we're going to go, he's got camps, but I'm going to go pop a hammy in Calgary.
Oh, good.
Yeah, sit in the beer tent a little bit. See some boys I haven't seen in a while, and then we got our own provincial weekend, and then tryouts, man, and rinse and repeat, start all over.
It's exciting though. I did have my hand up. One thing we didn't really talk about yet is, you know, we've talked to Mark Smith, we've talked to some of the athletes that are going.
Right. Yeah.
The Olympic Games start in a week. So,
oh my God, how did we forget that?
Yeah. Well, I didn't forget. There's just a lot going on. But just real quick, I mean, Canada opens against Mexico. I know the times are a little, obviously, being across the world, it's a bit tough. I don't know about you, but I'm setting my alarm. I'm going to get up.
So is that the 20th?
Is
that the first game?
27th, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was 26th. 26th. Yep.
Yeah. I got it here somewhere.
Yeah, somebody phone me. Tell me when it starts.
We'll probably be up anyway, Dean, you know? 3 a.m. is a good wake-up time. It's good practice for when we have to get up to go catch a flight to maybe go to San Diego or Florida. You got to get up pretty early. Let's practice now, you know?
So what are we at here? Pacific time is an hour difference, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So July 21, it actually starts on the 21st. So the Thursday of Tuesday week, they start with Mexico, and that game is on at midnight our time.
Well,
on
we
the
will 20th, be watching it.
On the 20th.
Tuesday.
Because it's a day difference. So I'll use our days. Okay. So then on the 21st, they play the USA at 6 p.m. our time.
Well, that's all right.
So it's perfect. Yeah.
Australia, they play on the 23rd, is 7 p.m. our time. These were all.
Did you text Smitty and just tell him when to play the games? Because that's almost
that
perfect.
Can't be right. Oh no, that hold on. Not, no,
yeah, this I thought there's something
from
3
Softball Canada. No, this is. So they got the times are all mixed up.
I'm just gonna put a little asterisk here and say, please do not take Josh's word for
this. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go Eastern time. Okay, Eastern time.
We're all on Eastern time, right? No.
No, but I'm giving you the Eastern time because in this screenshot that I took of the Softball Canada, it's Pacific time is a little different. Okay, Mexico on the 21st. That's 2 a.m. Eastern, which is
midnight.
Midnight us.
Something like that, yeah.
21st, again at 8 p.m. Eastern, which is 6 p.m., they play the U.S. Australia on the 23rd is 9 p.m. Eastern, which is 7 p.m. us. They play Japan on the 25th at 1:30 a.m. Eastern, which is 11:30 p.m. us, right? On the 25th. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get
and
to
then
see
bronze
all
medal,
games.
Gold medal. Yeah, we'll definitely get to see that. And please do not take that as your official schedule. But yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And I can't imagine what they're going through right now. And I'm, you know, I've been watching Softball Canada's feed, and I mean, the host committees, everybody there has been treating the teams like gold, and it'll be different. Like it's still that Olympic dream. I got to think that as a player, the atmosphere is greatly changed because there's no fans allowed and you're around the blanket of COVID. So, I mean, around the athletes' village will be a little more stringent as far as rules. I'm sure they'll be masked up. I'm sure when they're not on the field, because hey, you don't want to get a positive COVID test during the Olympics. I mean, holy cow, I can't imagine what would happen there. But it's still, hey, still the Olympics, man.
Do you think that having no fans sort of flattens the advantage that Japan might have had. I'm just wondering, does it make it just more like, you know what, we're just playing exhibition? It's not exhibition, obviously. We're playing a neutral site because there's not going to be a lot of screaming people. So I just wonder if that's going to help Canada, or does it really matter at that point?
Well, I think it helps everybody. I think it helps all the teams in that if you're playing a neutral site game, that crowd getting behind you, if you're Japan or the US or whoever. I mean, you know, we've all played in that feeling where if the home team, you know, gets ahead right away and the crowd's losing it, that adds to the pressure you feel as an athlete. It makes you a little uncomfortable, I'm sure. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think what it does is it just basically says, okay, let's whatever team plays the best and can charge themselves up emotionally.
Is the rule, is other athletes able to come and watch, or is it just the fans? I can't remember, because I mean, that could be a home game for anybody as long as they bring all their country with them, you know.
When softball goes first, athletes, right? Softball is the first sport played.
I'm not sure. So,
anyhow.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, really exciting, no kidding. So. And like the way they've gone through it, and we've had athletes and coaches on for the last year talking about the work and the journey, as they call it, which is crazy. That sounds like a reality TV thing to me, the journey. But it's true. They've been doing this for not just this year. This team has been together for a long time. And to finally get to put it on the big stage, it's huge. So we've been eagerly waiting for this, and it seemed like it would never get here. It's a week away. So
yeah, that's right.
Exciting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, let's get into shots, boys, because we've done an update. We're over an hour. Let's just do some shots real quick and get out of here, you know?
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Dino.
I'll go.
All right.
Okay. They're not going to be shots. They're actually going to be an anti-shot. So I'm actually going to be congratulating or thanking a couple of people. So first of all, on the weekend for the men's selection camp there, the U23s, Razor, we actually had him throw all of his gear on, and he caught all the 8 pitchers while they did the testing, just to give them some consistency with different catchers and stuff like that behind the plate. Like, we didn't want to have a mix of different catchers for different pitchers. So we just actually plopped Razor back there, threw all of his gear on, and all the boys were throwing at him, and he was tired. It was a very, very, that was a grueling, I don't know, it must've been close to probably a little over an hour, wouldn't you think?
And it was hot.
Yeah, it was hot. You know, he had his, you know, no real breaks at all for him. So real thank you to him. And also, a few hours later, Razor and Tosh were hitting some ground balls, hard ground balls. He did that for about whatever, half hour, maybe 40 minutes before the game started. And I want to thank Tosh for not wearing batting gloves. So, you know, that nobody had to tease him. Nobody had to bug him. It didn't distract any of the players. You know, he was just out there like a man. He had his, you know, had his bare hands out there, and he was just swinging for his life. Yeah. So,
screw you, Dan Jolie. Screw you, Dan Jolie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. No, it was cool because there was a couple 36-foot drop balls too.
Oh yeah,
but, he had knuckleballs. Knuckleballs.
There was a couple knuckleballers in there too.
Couple knuckles,
and they moved. They did move.
Pitch of the 90s.
Yeah,
pitch of the 90s.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So shout out to you guys. So thanks, and the rest of the coaching staff that helped there. The assistant coaches, Queensy and Stace and Karen, Patty, right? So thanks to all those guys as well. So
I call them Team Poopy Pants, right? It was Queens and Karen and Patty. You know, they're all Poopy Pantses. So Team Poopy Pants did beat Team Fun Times in the inner squad game. It was me, Razor, and Stacy. They beat us. So
they did.
Team Fun Times owes Team Poopy Pants some metal beverages.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. But
you guys were close. It was a close game right till the very end.
It was a really close game till the end. Yeah. 1 3-run shot near the end that kind of put that final nail in.
Staple.
Yeah. So
that's all I got.
Yeah, it was good camp. Yeah.
Good. Tosh?
Totally going off the board here.
Wow.
Totally going off the board. My shot is at Kucherov.
Interesting.
Yes. So we all saw the post press conference, right? And it's kind of a shot at social media too, I guess. So Kucherov goes off. He's drinking his Bud Lights. Heard now he's got a Bud Light deal, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Whatever. So he's drinking his Bud Lights. He's talking and he's giving props to his goaltender, and then basically takes some shots at people that had won the MVP before, and he thought it was should have been his goaltender. And that happens, you know. You're fighting for your guy. You're jacked up emotionally. You just won the Stanley Cup. Get it. And then Kucherov proceeds to go off on the Montreal Canadiens fans. Now, I should preface this by saying, had they beat Calgary again in the final, like they did in
04,
I wouldn't care. As an Oilers fan, yeah, have at her. Flames fans, absolutely, don't care. However, when he went off on Montreal for saying, you know, basically they go crazy after winning one game, and really? It's not like he won the Stanley Cup, really? And he kept saying that. That's a shot at the team that has the most tradition in the NHL. This is an original 16. They've won more cups than anybody. You know, had an amazing run just to get there. And, you know, he takes a shot at a fan base. And I don't think the fan base, as much as, you know, they shouldn't roll over a cop car. I get it. After one win, that happens. It's happened. But they were in a tough spot. You could put 3,500 people in the arena at $12,000 a ticket. But still, they put 20,000 or how many it was standing outside the Bell Center just to be part of it, you know. And so, yeah, this is for my Habs buddies, my Habs fan buddies.
Yeah, mix alcohol and everything else that's going on. So, I mean, you got to have a problem.
Yeah, there's stuff that goes crazy there, but Kucherov, you know, going off. And this is coming from a guy who's played a total of, 13 regular season games in the last 2 years? I don't know, whatever the number is, but... yeah, great hockey player, awesome hockey player. But when it comes to hacking on other fan bases,
that's a tough lips. One.
Yeah, shut your lips.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, maybe we should have talked. I'm gonna maybe take two smaller shots, okay? Because my shot was gonna be at the Lightning in general, and the fact that they found this loophole in the league and in the salary cap issue where there's no way Kucherov just woke up healthy for the playoffs or the finals. It's absurd to me. This was a plan. They had a lawyer look at it and say, well, if we do it this way, he can come out and we can be $15 million or whatever it is over the cap, win the cup, pay our penalty, still get the championship. I think it's a door that's got to be closed, because a lot of teams are going to start looking, hey, we'll just rest our best players and then let them come back. So that's shot number one. Number two, though, I'm not a UFC guy. I used to be, but, McGregor fought this weekend, and it was the third fight, him and Poirier, and he got beat up pretty good. And unfortunately, I get why McGregor's still in the UFC. He's a big draw, he's a show, but he's gotten the tar kicked out of him the last few times. And the shot I'm going to take, though, is he's on the ground getting interviewed with a broken ankle or whatever happened to his ankle, and he's saying things like, hey, your wife's in my DMs. He's saying these things to the guy who just beat him up so bad that his ankle's broken. At what point do you just say, hey, you know what? Get me on a stretcher and get me out of here.
He's promoting the next fight, Donnie.
Well, who's going
He's already started promoting the next fight.
Yeah.
He's trying to, I broke my ankle or whatever it's going to be. It's, you know, he wants to promote that next fight. That's going to be his next payday. So
he's the
highest yelling back and forth already.
Yeah, I know. They were yelling. And you know what? We watched that fight too, Donnie. And, you know, if you look at it, he had him guillotined. He had him, right? But you're right. I think if that fight goes on, McGregor gets beat up.
Gets bumbled a little bit more. And that's really what we probably all would have liked to have seen, because then that's the third, you know, that's the two of three. Yeah. And he got beat up hard. You probably wouldn't be talking about another fight. But because he awful that he broke his leg the way he did, that's disgusting, right? But the fact that he did that, now that's leaving another opening. If he can physically get back and do it, they're going to want to do it. Now, if he wins,
there'll be another one.
There's got to be another one. There's got to be a fifth, right? So it'll be pretty big fight for him to win. That's a lot of.
They'll milk that until people don't want to go and watch it. I guess.
I'm a casual UFC guy now, and I think I got into it because a goofball over here. He was into it hard there for a while, right? But if he would have said to me, "Hey, man, the fights are on the night after the camp," and if he wouldn't have told me McGregor was fighting, I wouldn't have cared. Right. Yeah. Like he's kind of the draw in that sport right now. It's like if Mike Tyson came out of retirement, people might start watch boxing just for the fact to see if he's going to bite somebody's ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? So I think they're going to milk that as much as they can.
And they should. I mean, everybody, I mean, he plays his part well. He's the heel.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, he's throwing water bottles at pressers and he's an absolute throwing stools at guys' buses. Yeah. Like he's definitely a wild card and people
what
like
was,
that.
What was up with the dude drinking out of somebody's shoe?
The New Zealand. He's a New Zealand guy or Australian guy? So he knocked out Greg Hardy, who was a former NFL defensive end, and he knocked him out pretty hard. But that's what's happened. I want to say it happens in, is it auto racing or tennis? One of the two. It's a celebratory tradition. But he drank out of four different people's shoes. And we're coming out of a post-COVID situation, and now you're taking everybody's shoe?
I would just call those people prior to the fight and say, "Hey, can you guys bring a little plastic cup or something? I'll drink out of your plastic cup."
And don't start rumor now you get COVID from the feet.
No, I'm not saying you get COVID from it, but everyone's been pretty germophobic lately. And now we're just willing to take beer out of people's sweaty shoes? That's pretty sick, actually.
Did you say lately? Or you said Dino all the time? Yeah, did you say lately?
I did.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are my two little mini shots, but always a pleasure.
Way to tap it in, Happy.
Mm-hmm. Just tap it in.
Tap it in.
Give a little tap, tap-a-roo.
Very nice. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, boys.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.